Hey, you! Here's one of our favorite episodes of The New Day, Feel the Power. Check out the rest on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Welcome to the greatest podcast of all time, which is entitled The New Day. Feel the power, baby.
There we go.
Oh, that was really weird.
It's very weird doing this not
that
together.
Was really weird.
First things first, thank you guys for jumping into this episode, clicking on it and listening to it. We are all in separate places currently. I, Xavier Woods, hello, hello. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. You go next.
That's a lie. Actually, you're not in Atlanta. You're not.
Okay, I'm in Smyrna, Georgia. I'm
thank you. You. Got him.
Thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
Full the transparency.
Okay.
Full disclosure.
I am in Lando Lakes, Florida. That's a real place, people.
Like the butter.
Yeah,
butter.
Smooth.
I am in Austin, Texas.
Are you in actual Austin, Texas?
Yes.
Austin
okay.
Proper.
Nice. Okay. Austin awesome, proper.
He's a proper Texan.
What is it? So am I in Atlanta?
I didn't say all that. I said yeah, I live in Austin. That doesn't make me a Texan.
You got your boots? You got your Spurs
I'm not
yet?
From, no, I don't have boots.
Yeah.
And
Spurs.
No.
Whoa. What was that?
No.
That wasn't Texas.
That's something. No, I'm not a Texan. I just live here. I reside here.
Wow.
There's no tax here. I have a house here. That's it.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Like we stated, we are all in three different places. That is not because we want to be together doing this in the same room for y'all. But as you well know, and as you well are at home, we are also at home making sure to do what we can. We wanted to make sure that we were able to get together and do this for you guys. So here we are.
Yeah. And also you said to do this for you guys, but this is also for us as well. Because I'm
100%.
I'm doing well, but I feel like I'm on the brink of being going stir crazy.
Yeah.
So this is a nice break from the monotony of staring at my walls. And
well, let's talk about it. What have you been doing for this time, E? Because like I know like you're a minimalist, you don't have a lot of stuff in your house, you're not a materialistic guy. So like what are you doing at home with the materials that you have?
I don't know if you can see, but I'm getting a nice chocolatey hue because I've been outside. Not around people, mind you, but I've been outside. Sometimes I go on walks. I live in the suburbs, so I can go on walks without being around people. And it's real nice letting the sun beat down on me. That's what I want, just the sun been trouncing me. But it's been like mid 80s to 90 degrees in sunny Florida.
So you hate that heat though. Dripping sweat outside.
It feels good. I feel like when you go outside and you desire like, hey, I'm going to go for a walk or I'm going to work out outside. When you accept that you're going to be sweaty, it's cool. But when you're like dressed up to put clothes on and you start pitting out and just sweat pouring from every orifice, that's when I have a problem with the heat.
I didn't sign up for all this.
Cope, what you been up to?
Man, hey, this has been pretty great for me. Honestly, you know, we talk about it all the time, like not getting the chance to spend time home. Luckily, we have jobs that, you know, some people in my neighborhood are working from home and they have their kids there too because schools have been canceled. But they, it's almost like they have to isolate themselves in a room from their kids. because the kids are like interrupting their work, you know, obviously being with WWE, like we don't have to worry about that. So it's just been all time spent with the kids all day long. So I bought my two sons some fishing rods. Nice. You know, like I've never been fishing. I'm not a fisherman by any means. So I got them the fishing rods, but they put these little like plastic, like fish on the end. So they can never catch anything because there's no hooks, but they get out there. Oh, daddy, I'm fishing. Oh, did you catch anything, son? No, not yet. Oh, you know, so that's, to me, that's the experience. But we got some new neighbors in, and one of the kids is a year older than my oldest son, and he knows how to fish. So he comes over, he actually has hooks and a whole tackle box and all this. Like, we're going to the fishing pond. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? We're going fishing for real? So we go there. And of course, he casts his reel in and catches a fish like on the first one. And now he's reeling this thing in and now he's caught it. And everyone's like, oh, you know, so I don't know what to do. I don't want to touch it. You know what I mean? It's like all slimy. I don't want to touch a fish. I have no intention of touching a fish. So we see, so he's going to like his tackle box. He said, oh, I'm going to go get the pliers. I go, pliers for what? What are we doing? So he takes the pliers and he's trying to get the hook out and he can't get it out. You know, so now I'm like, okay, let me come over there and like be the adult and like get us out of this situation. And I go and see that the hook is actually through like the fish's eye. So now I'm stuck trying to get this thing, you know, the barb on the hook makes it so that you can't just like pull the hook out. You have to do it in a way that, you know, that I've not been taught to do. So eventually I'm like struggling with it. I don't want to tear its eye out. I get the pliers and I cut like the barb off. Mind you, the kid's little sister's like jumping on my back trying to get a piggyback ride, you know? So I have this pliers, fish in the other hand, trying to cut off the barb, and I finally cut it off, and I turn around to call the kid over to throw the fish back in because I don't want to touch it, and he's already putting bait on another hook to get another fish. So I'm like, bro, like, come on, guys. So it's been just like wild adventures like that, and, you know, the day after that, Kai actually got a real hook, and he caught his first fish. On the same day that I caught my first fish, you know, so we just reel them in and throw them back in. So I've been like forced into fishing and kind of these just crazy situations that I would not be in if I was not home, you know? Yeah. So it's just been so much. It's just been an adventure just all day long. We're running the agility ladder in the front yard. You know what I'm saying? So It's just every day is an adventure. And honestly, like, yes, it's kind of grim what's going on in the world, but in my yard, it's all good. We're having a lot of fun, man. We're having fun.
People talking about this quarantine being at home. Baby, I've been at home since October. I know how to live this life. I know what's up. But yeah, since my whole basement is like pretty much an arcade, I've been absolutely great. It's been the best thing. And so like you're talking, Kof, being able to stay home with the kids and stuff. So like with my first, obviously on the road so much. So you just miss so much. So now being able to not necessarily like catch up because you can't really catch up, but being at home, hanging out with him, and he's two, almost three, and then got the other one 6 months. And so being able to be at home for that and watching him like grow and experience things, it's really cool. And going outside every day with the kids, just kind of hanging out with the other kids in the neighborhood, just like playing from a distance. And then we do, in our neighborhood, we do Saturday happy hours. So we'll all we get in the cul-de-sac, but we're all very far away from each other, just kind of like on the curbs of our driveways, just kind of tilt your glass to your neighbor, you know, we're all alive and we're community.
I will say, I feel like it's at least in my community, I feel like it's kind of brought people together because I'll just go on these walks. There's more people outside. I see families with their kids. Of course, we're all keeping a distance, but just, you know, you see someone from across the street and you give them a little head nod, whereas before you might be busy and going on about your day. But we all know we got time to stop and wave or say hello. So I do like the sense of community, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah.
And that, hey, this is a tough time, but it's something we're all experiencing. And I think a lot of times when you see tragedies or things going on in the world, you say, oh, it's just in that pocket of the world. It doesn't affect me, but this is something that's affected us globally. And not to get us get too much on a soapbox, but it has been nice just to see people, at least from my experience. I'm sure there's also the experience of people. There's experiences of people hoarding toilet paper and sanitizer. And you see the worst of people. But I think for the most part, you've seen kind of the better of people coming together and just trying to be more friendly and more community oriented.
Yeah, it's definitely got vibes of, do you know that show Naked and Afraid?
Yeah.
So they do one that's a like Naked and Afraid XL, where they'll take like 10 or 20 people, whatever it is, and put them all on an island separately. And so they might be like 3 or 4 days if you even actually see another human. And so the excitement that they feel when they see somebody else, it's so cool because, like you said, in our society, we just kind of heads down, get in an elevator, don't talk to anybody, even though there's like 6 people in there. But now it's like when I see another human, I wave, I get excited. I'm like, oh, yes, like we can communicate. We can't touch. We can be 6 feet away. But like it's nice to kind of have that vibe where it feels like we are kind of a little bit closer together than we normally are.
Yeah.
But anyway, feel free to continue with that discussion using hashtag New Day Pod. Hit us on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you've been doing at home. Yesterday, for everyone listening to this, was WrestleMania. Ah, so I hope you guys.
It was.
Yes.
Yes, it was. But it's, I don't know what days are, and obviously we pre-record this, but it's 2 days for the first time ever. It's too big for one night.
It's too big for one night.
Too big. Rob Gronkowski hosting just out That's there right. with a microphone in his hand talking, you know, nobody in the audience.
Flapping the gums. Yeah.
So this has been a time I feel like I've seen a lot of people talking about like their favorite WrestleMania moments, especially with the fact that WrestleMania is so different or was so different this year than any other year. This is the first time this has ever happened where we've had no fans. We've had to do it at the Performance Center and hasn't been on a huge stadium setting. We haven't had people from 160 countries coming in to this year's Mania. So it felt different. But regardless, you have those emotions that you hinge your thoughts on. You know, you think back to other WrestleManias. WrestleMania 1, the first start. You shall not be named. It'd be like Morgan's house to make it happen. So it's cool to see it progress throughout the years. I was wondering, do you guys have any memories of watching WrestleMania live for the first time?
Yeah, for me, it was WrestleMania 14, which was in Boston. And it was an entire experience right around like the height of the Attitude Era. You had Mike Tyson as the special guest referee, where, you know what I'm saying? Where, have you ever seen Christian do the Mike Tyson DX cross chop?
Oh my God.
It's real
nasty.
That's
the best. That's
it's really disgusting.
And I don't want to say that too loud because Mike Tyson will punch me in the face, you know?
Nah, he gets it. You know? He gets it. He's got a one-man comedy show. He's all right.
Oh, have you seen him though? He still got it. Have you seen him shadow boxing? It's incredible. No.
Is he nasty?
He still got it. Yeah, he's
in really?
Thing. I'll look it up on YouTube videos, right now.
Right, he'll post videos of, I think he, so one of the fighters, maybe Francis Ngannou, where you just kind of like showed him like a little like tutorial, and it's incredible, man. Still got the speed, the movement.
Never lose it, I bet.
Never lost it.
I regularly watch Mike Tyson knockout videos.
I think he was doing something with like Snoop Dogg talking about like ducking something and like hitting somebody in the kidney or something. I don't know. But yeah, he still got it. Anyway, so this was WrestleMania 14 in Boston. And it was the time where like, it was like the height of the Attitude Era where everybody, you know, and their mother is a WWE fan. People are Stone Cold Stunner and everybody in the hallways at school, you know, crotch chopping everybody, getting into trouble. And we had saved all of our money to go do like the VIP experience, you know? So actually, let me back up like a week before. I don't know if you remember, it was like Boston Harbor where Vince McMahon and gosh, who was it? And Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Stone Cold had like the old school Patriots jersey with the Austin 316 on the back. And Vince ends up getting thrown into Boston Harbor. I don't know if that was like televised nationally or not.
Oh, yeah.
That was something that we ended up going to and see, you know, that was like the first time I'm getting goosebumps. My God. Like that was the first time I got to see like star wrestlers like up close, you know, because I didn't really go to any live events before that. I mean, maybe one or two, but they were never like televised events. So it was just a crazy experience. And then we all saved up our money and bought the cheapest tickets in the Boston Garden. And we were sitting like way, way, way up. But before the show, we had like this VIP experience where we got to eat dinner, terrible dinner, by the way. and then we got like autographs. I think JR was there. And I met Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton, the Rock and Roll Express. And I actually have a picture of me with Ricky Morton. And then, you remember the WrestleMania that we hosted, right? That was when they went into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So then we got a picture in Gorilla. And then I did the side-by-side with, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, God, man, goosebump city over here, you know? But it was awesome. Just the whole week being able to look forward to it. And then do that whole VIP experience. Our seats were awful. Like we couldn't see anything. And I think it was, you know, we were so engulfed over all the hype, you know, being there. But after, you know, like 2 or 3 hours goes by, we're like, oh, these seats are actually really bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can't feel anything up there, but you still feel that energy. One of the cooler things was I look over to my right, like midway through the show, and this was right before Edge was about to debut. So Edge, and I don't know if you remember the Jackal, who was like leading the Truth Commission way, way back. But the Jackal was over there in the hall, in the aisleway, talking to Edge. And I look over and I'm like, oh man, because you remember like Edge's vignettes when he would just be like sprinting full force at the camera, the Edge is coming, you know? So hell, I'm like, oh, that's the dude, that's the guy. And I was thinking about going over there and I was like real, real nervous and I didn't want to go. And finally, I get the stones to try and like go over there. And before I did, there was another kid who actually went over there to talk to the Jackal. He's like, hey, man, can I get like a picture? He's like, no, get out of here. I'm trying to watch the show. And I was like, oh. So I stopped. You know, I'm like, I'm not going over there to be like rejected by these guys. But it's crazy to think about that, you know, and then like fast forward 10, 15 years later, Edge and I are like riding together in a car, you know what I'm saying? And like having matches and stuff like that. So, and now full circle, he's come back. So, but it was awesome. Just as kids, and we've said this a million times on the show about how, you know, I have, this is all that I've ever wanted to do. So to be at a WrestleMania and one so like hyped up having Mike Tyson there and DX and Austin and Mr. McMahon, like it was just an incredible experience. Just, I mean, it was just awesome. It was awesome. And all of us too, we wore like, you know, like the white tank tops. We can't call them what we used to call them back in the day. But you know, we wore these all white and we thought we were like so cool, man. I had this like corduroy jacket on that I got from Marshall's real cheap.
What?
But it's in the picture that I took with Ricky Morton, man. Right. But we just looked like a-holes, man. Like real
just
bad,
a bunch of heathens.
Just a bunch of heathens, just dirty, real dirty. So anyway, it was just awesome, man. Just awesome to be in that, you know, that environment and feel that energy. And then of course, fast forward to now, like we've done like 10 manias, you know, and been on the show, you know, and it's just, it's a wild full circle scenario. So that was my only live mania that I got to watch, before I got signed. So
yeah,
crazy, crazy.
Yeah, I never got the chance to go to one until I was signed. E, were you able to go to one before you were signed, or were you near any of them?
Not only did I never go to one while I was signed, before I was signed, I never got to watch one because of my household. Sure, we were middle class, but we could never, like, we never had enough money laying around to buy a pay-per-view. And so it must have been nice for y'all just to have all the money just to be throwing around. I'm gonna buy all this pay-per-view and that every single month.
So I wouldn't buy them outright. So we would have parties where everybody would bring $5 and that would go towards buying the pay-per-view and buying a couple of pizzas. And so all the kids, it'd be like, I don't know, like 10, 15 of us all land at somebody's house, whoever didn't host the time before, somebody else will do it the next time. And that's how we would get it. Cause our parents wouldn't get them for us. We would pool our allowances collectively to watch wrestling.
Yeah. But I wasn't really allowed to socialize as a kid.
You were socializing as a child.
So I've learned from an early age. And I'm not really joking either. Like, we couldn't hang out with kids and at their houses and whatnot. So that option was out the window. Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's a whole nother conversation.
This isn't necessarily WrestleMania, but I feel like it's part of this story. It's a good tangent. So I think we've talked about on the podcast how you couldn't watch all that because of the rap.
No, I could watch all that. Okay. I could watch all that, but anytime the intro came on, because it was a hip hop intro, I had to change the channel. So I had this Zenith TV. I don't know. It was maybe my grandma bought it for me. It was probably like a 12-inch, I don't know, very small TV in my room. And my dad walked by in the hallway. And usually I would remember, okay, I got to flip it. Wait in my head, think, you know what? I don't know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, whatever, for it to be over. And then flip back. And then once I just made the mistake of not flipping, and he walked by and heard the rap, and it was a rap for me watching that. I was so
shut it down.
I was so upset. I had to go to bed. And I didn't get to watch. Like, I wanted to watch that whole SNCC. Remember you had the lineup from what, 8 to 10? And I couldn't watch any of it. Because I think start?
All that started.
I think it kicked it off, right?
And then was Kablam in there?
I think so. Was it?
Oh, see, Kablam was later for me. Kablam. So my little brother is like 7 years younger than me, and I feel like Kablam came on right around that time. I wasn't really a big like kablam guy.
But okay, fair.
Snake, are you afraid of the dark? Like all that, yeah.
Got you. Okay, so fair. So I asked that question to get that information out to the masses so then I can ask you. So when you would watch wrestling in the house, E, if someone's theme music had rap in it, was that an issue?
No, actually, no. But okay. it was a bit hypocritical too, because we weren't supposed to watch kissing. We weren't supposed to watch any like storylines about if the word pregnant or pregnancy even came up, it was a problem. But then sometimes I would leave, okay, I'm watching Nitro or Raw, and I would leave the room and come back and I see women with the, you know, the deals all masked together.
Yeah.
Doing what they're doing. It's the Attitude Era. And I would see, look at this hypocrite watching what he wants to watch.
Yes.
I was about, you know, probably near the end of the time I was watching wrestling religiously, I was like 11 to 13. You know what happens to your body at that time. You know what's bubbling up? You don't think I want to see that?
With that dial-up internet?
Yeah.
There you go.
You don't think I want to see Sable doing what she does? You don't think I want to see a lot of what was going on during the Attitude Era? I want to watch that. And I want to listen to rap.
What is the? I'm imagining young E just like, Daddy, I just want to listen to rap and look at girls.
Hey, put some high bass in my voice. Like, even then.
Daddy.
Don't you dare be sour. Let me. Let me listen to hip hop. And watch the Ron Bennies match.
Oh. Oh, maybe I should go to bed. Oh, no.
I'm so
sorry. You're right, Daddy. Daddy knows best. Oh.
Daddy knows best.
Yeah. Y'all done? Y'all done now?
No. It will never be done.
Yeah. I'll be finished as soon as y'all are finished with Chester's.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's when I'll be done.
Never.
That's when I'll be done. Exactly.
Never finish with Chester's.
Exactly.
Or Baby Mouth. Baby
exactly. Mouth. I'm fine with it. Whatever.
Sure you are.
Do people know about Baby Mouth?
People know about Baby Mouth. So my favorite Mania match growing up was.
Wait a second. Hold on. Need to go back over there. No, sir. Tell them about Baby Mouth. Yeah. It's your nickname because
go ahead.
Doesn't like any kind of anything that's spicy. You know, or really anything with much flavor in it. You like your stuff.
I like flavor. I don't like flavors that I don't enjoy. Flavors that I enjoy, I'll eat all day. I'll eat all day.
Stop.
Okay.
Grow up.
I am grown. Hence why I can eat all day, especially on quarantine. All I got time to do is play video games and eat.
All right, but
when the food gets too spicy, then they start calling you Baby Mouth. You can't handle it. You can't hack it, right?
No, I just don't enjoy it. So, okay, I'll explain better.
Oh, there you go.
I don't eat vegetables because they are disgusting to me. They liken that to a child's meal because if we go somewhere, I'll get like chicken strips or corn dogs or french fries when there's like, ooh, these gourmet a la douve potatoes au gratin. I don't need that. I like my food basic. I want corn dogs, hot dogs, Cocoa Krispies, and Chipotle. That's what and some ramen. I don't eat anything else in my life. No vegetables. And so they call me Baby Mouth.
That's crazy. My son wants to have a whole hodgepodge on his plate too. Same exact thing. Little baby, my son. Just like you, old Baby Mouth. We came out with the spiritual, you know, to commemorate and recognize Baby Mouth.
Baby Mouth.
Oh, don't put no red pepper in my food. Oh, no. It's Baby Mouth.
Baby, my house.
Baby, my house. I've locked my kids out of this room. What's going on? They're all on the outside. Baby, my mommy. What's that?
I guarantee you, Kai is trying to look underneath the door in that little tiny crack to see what's going on.
I made the mistake. So I had to do like a phone interview the other day. And then I closed the door inside here. And I thought I was good. And then they came through this back door over here and I just, in the middle of the interview, and I was like, all right, well, we're in it. Just climbing over me like a jungle gym, like I'm not working, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, anyway. But
well, hey, you're getting that work from home swag now.
That's it, man. We love it.
So to veer away from that and get back on topic, you know, because we're talking about WrestleManias, E, did you have a Mania match or anything in your mind from Mania that you may have enjoyed?
Did I just not explain to you that I didn't watch WrestleMania? Yeah. I couldn't afford it.
But what I'm saying is, once you started training, did you watch any, or are there any that stick out to you that coincide with what you're doing now, like for inspiration or anything like that?
I told Dan Reichert, by the way, this is all Dan's fault. I'm going to blame him when he put this together. It's a great idea. I get it. It's the build up to WrestleMania. But I didn't watch them as this is horrible for me. One, because I didn't actually watch them as a kid. Number two, my memory, as you know, is horrible.
I'm aware. And that you're not on the list to be asked, but I wanted to ask you so I could get this out of you, just so you admit that your memory's terrible. Thank you. Moving on.
First of all, I don't even remember the manias that we've been in.
Oh,
people ask me,
not.
Oh, how was WrestleMania 33? Which one was that? Name me the town, and maybe I could tell you. So now you're asking me to remember a whole event. Which one did I remember? I'm sorry, you're trying to make a fool out of me, and I won't have
it. I'm not trying to make a fool out of you.
I'm talking to Dan.
Oh, Dan. So I'm the same way, though, with Mania, with anything wrestling, really. People always ask, oh, what was the match that you watched that really just got you into wrestling and sucked you in? Like, I don't know. I just kind of generally watched wrestling and, like, really enjoyed it. Like, what about your favorite Mania match? Like, I don't really have one. Because even as a kid, WrestleMania was incredible. But in my brain was like, I couldn't use it as a stopping point because Raw was the next day.
Right.
Like, I feel like if I watch, so take for instance, like the World Series, I would watch that and I could remember like, okay, the Braves versus the Yankees for like 4 years straight because there was a year where like the Yankees swept the Braves because things would stop and I'd have time to like digest that huge thing. And so for Mania, even as a kid, I was just always so amazed at how many moments could fit into this like couple of hour period that will live on for the rest of people's lives. And I just have like no memory of him because I'm like, okay, what's going on Raw now? And now what's happening on SmackDown? Oh my God, Sunday Night Heat, what's going on? So I was always like, what's happening next? But the only thing that I really remember like getting super hyped for was the Mania that had Mickie James and Trish Stratus. Because that year, off the top of my head, that's the only match that I can really remember that I was super excited about watching because Mickie James was doing that like weird stalker thing to Trish. And oh my God, for some reason that was like, as a younger kid, I was like, this is like the most off-putting thing that I think I've like, ever watched at this point in my life. And so I was hyper into it. And especially in that day and time, I feel like lots of the female performers didn't always get a lot of TV time or on-screen time to do like interesting stuff. You know, I feel like it was a lot of times they were just casting the role of like, oh, you're this manager. You're kind of in this like love angle. Like there wasn't anything that I could like sink. So you could like sink your teeth into that they would let the women do. And so this was like, for me, my God, incredible. And so, yeah, it was just really good.
Yeah.
From the three of us, the ones that we've done, do you guys have a favorite entrance that we've done?
Oh man.
Or favorite entrance of any person in Mania?
I'd say the Bootio's easy for us.
Yeah, it's got to be.
The WrestleMania, that was in Dallas, right?
Ooh. Yes.
It was Dallas. It was Dallas. Actually, I think ESPN recently replayed that one and people were tweeting us about it. But obviously attached to our favorite entrance attached to our least favorite WrestleMania match.
Such a contrast.
I got asked to like FaceTime and like watch it. So like the watch along and I was like, I'm good. They're like, oh, but why? It's like, I have like three like the least favorite matches in my career. And that's definitely one of them.
I thought you were about to say that was all three of them.
Yeah. It felt like three matches. Good God. Cope, you got one?
Yeah. I was going to say probably the Bootio's box too, because it was not only the Bootio's box, but also the Dragon Ball Z. You know, shout out to the greatest television show ever, baby!
You know? Big asterisk. Big
asterisk. Yeah.
A lot of people were disgusted with that on Twitter.
Yes, because Golden Girls didn't win.
A lot of people loved it. A lot of people loved it, though. I thought it was great. I thought it worked out to perfection. Chef's kiss. You know what I'm saying? Hashtag chef's kiss.
You know who always has dope entrances is Triple H. Triple H is always up there.
100%.
You remember when... So this was the year that the Terminator was going to be included in 2K.
Yeah.
So he came out. Oh, my God. Like, so he came out and then, you know, he gets like lifted up. Right. And then all of a sudden you see all like the Terminator robots behind him. I just started losing my mind. I'm not even that big of a Terminator fan. And then all of a sudden, like all of them just lift up, like all six or seven of them. I was like, oh, what? Like, come on, this is awesome. You know?
Yeah.
But he's done some real crazy stuff. Even when he came out, was that the same year that he came out looking like Shao Kahn too? Or was that a different year?
That was different. No,
that was different.
I think I was still in NXT because I remember he had like Charlotte, maybe Sasha as like his like queens that were like went out with him.
Alexa.
That was awesome entrance.
Yep.
Sick. I'm biased to the Bootios box too, because I feel like that really set it off. And like you said, Kof, with the Dragon Ball stuff, I feel like that set our speed in motion. Standard, like we know that's our pace. And what it set it for everybody else too. So we kind of like know our lane. And it's honestly that entrance that we like quote unquote like weren't supposed to do kind of set us up for the rest of like our current careers right now. Like
especially
like doing stuff with Funimation, with Dragon Ball, having the serial, like it's just kind of opened up a lot of doors for us.
Yeah, for sure. No, 100% agree. Even like with the Final Fantasy stuff, that was kind of opened up because of this. You know, like when we came out and did the Dragon Ball stuff and then they took notice of it and they're like, oh, you know, we can get our name out there too. And then to come out as like Final Fantasy characters is like, again, still blows my mind. Like, what are we doing?
The wildest thing. For me, like it doesn't get any cooler than that. So all that stuff was really awesome. As far as WrestleMania sets, I don't really have like a favorite set that we've done. And it's weird. Or non-wrestling.
Recently, I think it was Orlando. I guess, the one we hosted. The one with, it had like an amusement park feel.
That was really cool.
We got to do the set reveal too. I think they called us in the night before, whenever it was. And we went out and did the set reveal for it. But that was really intricate. And getting to see it up close for the first time, it was massive. So that was the one that I remember more than pretty much any of the other ones recently.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So we have celebrities come in from time to time and be a part of our shows when there are times where we have celebrities come in and be a part of WrestleMania. So is there a celebrity that you think has had the best performance in a match? Mine, by far, like there's no one who can even touch this, will be Lawrence Taylor.
Are we just saying at WrestleMania? Because I was thinking Stephen Amell, but that wasn't Mania.
Yeah, Amell killed it, but not Mania.
Was that a SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, I think.
Was it a SummerSlam? Oh, yeah. SummerSlam. Okay.
Yeah. If we're just talking WrestleMania, I guess, yeah, good call. LT.
Yeah. 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 I think, and only probably because I was like there for a lot of this one, but Mayweather was awesome. Like, a lot of people.
Punching Big Show in the face.
Yeah, with brass knuckles for real. Like, he hit him as hard as he could in the face with the brat. Like, come on, man. I thought the whole buildup for it was great, too. And a lot of people come to, like, our world, and they have a lot of trouble, like, finding, like, the character aspect. You know, people can come out and, like, be cool. But I thought Mayweather played his part to perfection. And honestly, like, even in the day, I remember, like, when they were doing walkthroughs, and I forget who it was just kind of, like, you know, like, almost, like, mean mugging him a little bit and, like, side-eyeing him. And Mayweather looks down at him, and he says, like, oh, yeah, I just cashed out on, like, $100,000 today. You know, just starts, like, talking money to him, you know, just knowing that he was getting, like, mean mugged, you know, and just, like, play his role to perfection. Just this little dude compared to everybody else on the roster. Mayweather's like, what's his boxing weight, E? He's a featherweight, right? Like, 180 or something, 170?
He's definitely not 180. I love when you put me on the spot with facts. Yeah.
You're the fighting guy,
you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, he's fought at, what, like 140-ish?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's not that big.
Yeah, so again, like, in comparison to, like, people on our roster, Mayweather is this tiny dude who is the richest dude on the set, the most arrogant, the most talented, and then the whole story of, like, David and Goliath, but reversed. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mayweather was the bad guy, and Big So was like, so I thought that, like, to see it all kind of, like, unravel was great. And he played his character to perfection. Even, like, the match, you know, him getting, like, thrown around, I thought they did a really good job with the match too. Really, really entertaining. So yeah, I got to go with Mayweather on that.
Okay. Well, then, are there any celebrities that you think would do well in a WrestleMania match?
Ooh.
Yeah. Mine is Jackie Chan. He would kill it.
He would kill it.
Ooh, he would put everyone to shame.
I could see him doing everything too. Even if it's like a comedic match, he could do.
Yes.
You know, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Comedic, like, match, serious match, athletic match, high flying match.
Like, if you gave me a full WrestleMania of, like, 7 matches of Jackie Chan versus Ricochet, then Jackie Chan versus Brock, and then Jackie Chan versus Big Show, Jackie Chan versus Lindsay. Like, I'll watch every single one of those matches. Then throw in Jackie Chan versus Santino, and you'll be like, Jackie Chan's the greatest of all time. Greatest pro wrestler ever.
That's a good call. That's a good call. Yeah. I'm going to go with the unconventional pick of Larry David. Yes. Just kind of nonchalantly there, moves out the way. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Wouldn't we just be watching the Sami Zayn wrestle? Are they the same person?
Yeah, just real life Sami Zayn.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
Explaining stuff with his hands and his fingers.
You know what?
I don't think so.
Can you do me a favor? Can you fantasy book Larry David in a Mania match real quick?
Who would be a good opponent? I feel like you want to see him against someone massive.
Yeah.
Like Brock.
Is it?
Imagine Brock.
But who wins though? Who wins?
It's a great question.
Has Larry David made any friends? Is he buddies with us? Is he buddies with Zayn? Is he like, what? I feel like he's got to have some sort of backup.
Does he?
Is just Larry David by himself coming out to cut a promo? There's no tie-in. He comes out, Brock, I don't like you, and I think that somebody needs to shut you up. And then there's the match.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, he's, I think when he goes into his, like, his neurotic tendencies and starts to, you know, what's the deal with, I don't know.
Is that Seinfeld?
Yes, it was Seinfeld. Look, you put me on the spot here. What? I feel like he might be able to mentally distract him, you know?
Yeah. And with the help of Richard Lewis?
With the help of Rich.
Buddies from Curb.
What's dude's name, the comedian, the black dude?
J.B. Smooth.
J.B. Smooth. Leon in Curb. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
J.B. Smooth.
Pampin.
And Larry David against Brock Lesnar in a handicap match at Mania.
Sign me up.
There we go.
I'm there. I'll watch it.
Oh, God.
Kofi, you got a celebrity that you think would do well?
Man, I don't know. Larry David's such a good pick. I'd really pay to see that. I wanted to see LeBron James in a WWE.
LeBron James.
You know, just from an athletic perspective. You know what I mean? And yeah, he got a little personality on him, too. So... LeBron, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
Yeah, LeBron.
Well, then speaking of basketball, there's my next segue. Do you guys, are you upset that Big Show and Shaq never happened?
Yes, I am. So mad. I wanted to see it, man, because they've been building it for years. You know, you remember with the Andre and everybody, you know,
The Dre.
The Dre. You know what I'm saying? We call it the Dre in the streets. But there was something, man. I forget. I don't know if it was an article or it was an actual video, but Big Show like talking trash about Shaq. Do you guys remember this? And he's talking about like, oh, you know, I'm in the best fighting shape of my life. You know, look at me. I've lost 50 pounds. Shaquille O'Neal, he's gained 500. Just like nonchalant, just like matter of fact. And just so like Big Show, like just jerk, you know, and Shaq never responded to it. So I don't know what happened there, but I would have loved to have seen that, man. I would have loved, just from the trash talking aspect alone.
I don't know, man. I feel like, so this, and no disrespect to Big Show, who's one of the greatest big men of all time, but the only reason I would want to see this is if it's a train wreck. If it just went off the rails, if it was way too long, yeah, that's, you know, just started to derail. That's the only reason I want to see it. But if you're expecting a clinic, yeah. I don't know about all that.
Because it's one of those things, and I feel like we can tell people about the way that, at least I know that I like to watch wrestling. So like I've been in wrestling since I was 17 and I've watched it for many years even before then. So my entire life has been surrounded with watching wrestling matches. I can't figure out how many wrestling matches I've seen, how many I've been in. And so at this point in my mind, as an adult male at 33 years old, when I watch wrestling, I want one of two things. I want it to be either an incredible wrestling match that is a complete clinic on how you're supposed to move in the ring, about how you're supposed to talk in the ring, walk in the ring, all that. Or I want it to be, as he said, a complete train wreck. A good wrestling match is not entertaining to me. I want an amazing wrestling match or complete trash. And I'll watch both with the same level of excitement.
Damn. Yeah. That's it, bro. And I actually want to go back on my celebrity choice, by the way, because I've been watching a lot of Tiger King.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm like, I think 4 or 5 episodes deep in, and I need to see Joe Exotic in there. That's who I need to see. Joe Exotic versus Carol. That's what I want to see.
Yo, you gotta get to the game.
I don't know where I'm 4 episodes in right now. And
oh, you haven't finished?
Not yet.
You can't. Okay, so this is the thing.
That's not, huh?
I'm not going to say anything about it, but I'm saying you cannot bring up the Tiger King without watching the entire show first, because we got to talk about it.
I can step off. Yo, I can step off. I can step off. And
no.
We're four episodes deep. I was actually mad at my wife yesterday because we were supposed to watch like 4 more. And then she fell asleep with the kids. And I'm just sitting there in the living room in the dark, just waiting for her to wake up, you know? And she didn't wake up. So I was like, all right, I'll go back to, you know, angrily tucking myself into my sheets, you know? So she didn't wake up. But yeah, man, that's who it's got to be for me. And you know what the crazy thing about this show is that, like, so it talks about the Big Cat Rescue in Tampa. I drove by there every single day when I lived there for like 10 years, every single day, you know? Not knowing that all this stuff was going on, you know? So it's, I mean, you know, you live in Tampa. This is your city.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm a Tampa native, but you're breaking your own rule here, sir, by even mentioning a single thing about the show for all these poor people who might not have gotten around to watching Tiger King.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I didn't say, no. So here's the thing. I didn't say that I wouldn't spoil stuff for people. I just asked people not to spoil stuff for me. So technically, you know, I didn't say, you know, sure, I'll be a hypocrite. You know, I'll be a hypocrite. That's fine. I just don't want you to spoil it for me, you know, that's all.
That's brutal. Do you guys, to go back to Mania to wrap things up, what was your first Mania experience like? I'll go first because mine's the most lackluster, I'll say. So I was in the Dre. I thought that I was on top of the world. Thought it was incredible. I'm underneath the entranceway doing pull-ups, trying to get all jacked. I get out there in the ring, start fighting, wrestling around, and then I was out. And then I was in the back taking a shower. Did that huge walk with everybody. It was incredible. I had a blast. But then I didn't count that as my actual first, like, Mania experience moment, because it was such, like, it's a cluster of everybody in there. And there's nobody who gets, like, a spotlight. So the first time that, for me, I felt like, hey, this is me debuting at Mania was when we did the Bootios box.
Right.
And that's why it hurts so much that I hate that match the way that I do, because that's the first Mania for me, essentially. So that's why I never talk about it. What you got?
I think what he talked about, I thought I did. My first Mania was my very first WWE main roster match.
Oh,
was the tag with Team Hell No. But I wanted to say my first Mania in attendance was the one in Miami. Didn't we travel together, you and me, Woods?
We drove down there with Breeze in the car, and we stole his phone. He got all pissy about it. Do you remember?
We stole his phone?
Well, so remember, you were in the car with this. Leo Kruger was driving?
He was in the car. I don't remember. I think. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was driving.
Adam Rose. It was me, E, Adam Rose, Breeze, and I want to say one or two other people in a van. And
there was Breeze, at least five of us.
Yeah. Breeze dropped his phone in between the seats and couldn't find it and thought that we stole it, quote unquote. And so, you know that thing where he gets all pissy and just like shuts down and gives you one word answers? He was like that for like, I don't know, maybe like a day and a half.
Oh, no.
It was brutal. But sorry, E, continue.
No, I believe that. So I remember we got in a car we were in FCW at the time. We drove from Tampa to Miami. I remember being told, okay, you guys have to be there at a certain day. But we get down there, they have no rooms for us. We have nowhere to stay. We're all poor because, you know, we're getting $500 a week at the time. So I think the only recourse we had was to find someone that we knew maybe on the main roster and try to sleep on their floor. So we go down to Miami and we're forced to be there. And we also had access matches that year, right? Mm-hmm. We do access that year.
But they also told us that they were also mad that we were there so early.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
But I honestly don't remember much else from that Mania besides the drive down and having no rooms.
Before the days of the Dre, it was just the pre-show battle royal. Mm-hmm. So that's all that it was, man. It was a pre-show battle royal and then get thrown out and watch the rest of the show. It was not eventful at all, but... Yeah, the next year was Money in the Bank. So I don't count that first one either. And I count actually being in Money in the Bank as the first, you know, actual Mania debut. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's such a funny feeling to be at the grandest stage of them all. You know, you work your whole life to get to this point and then feeling like, oh, this is it. Like, am I at Mania? You know what I mean? Like, it's such a weird, like emotionally just like, I don't know, division of your emotions, I guess. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think one of the things is because we've talked about this like briefly. I don't know if we've talked about it publicly, but there's a difference between the people who are placed on the roster and kind of just like hustling the entire time to try to like claw to the top of the ladder, and then there are people who get a little bit of help. And I wish that everybody got help. This is no shade on anybody at all, but I like seeing people and like I like being the one who is on that grind to like hustle and try to achieve what you feel is an actual Mania moment, you know? I don't know if that's coming out correctly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it feels like a Mania moment to you because you've grinded for it. You know, you've worked through the slums and the trenches. You haven't been given it. You've earned it. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to you give it and then all of a sudden you're expected. You know, it's your expectation to be on Mania and then all of a sudden you're not on and then you're mad that you're not on because you're you, as opposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like feeling like you worked for it. No, I get it.
Yeah. Yes, we've talked about Mania, the history, things that we like, things that we don't, whatever. But WrestleMania is not just the show. It's a full week of events, of signings, of doing Radio Row, of access. And then there are events that aren't necessarily associated with WWE officially, but they coincide with the feel of WrestleMania and just wrestling all in that one same place. One of our favorites being definitely Wale Mania. Which we've been a few times. Now, E, you are the man who was kind enough to open up this fantastic relationship that we now have with Wale. So how did you guys come together? Just through his love of wrestling, and then he started doing Raleigh Mania, and we started hanging out there? Or?
Yeah, I was thinking about this a while ago. I don't even remember exactly how we first got in touch. I remember something, I think I tweeted something. He had like a wrestling related song. I think he had like a Hacksaw Jim Duggan reference or something that I found. Mm. I think it was a song with Sky Zoo, a more obscure song. And it was dope. And I tweeted him. And then I think we ended up DMing back and forth and we exchanged numbers and became pals and all that jazz. But we've been to several Wale Manias. I think the one that stands out to me is just the love that Kofi was showered with when all three of us went right as Kofi Mania was real hot. And it was just dope to be able to go to this, you know, we never go out, going to a club and it's wrestling fans, Wale is running it. And it's just cool because it allows fans to come together. If you have a love for hip hop and wrestling, it's a moment we can come together the week of WrestleMania. And so many of the boys and girls end up going, just stopping in, hopping on the mic for a little bit. I think Samoa Joe was spitting some bars. Charlie did once. I know they got Renee on stage, but it's a fun event, I think, for fans and for us too. But the Kofi Mania year last year was so dope just because the place erupted when Kofi gets on stage and walks in. And just for Kofi to get that love up close and personal and to get have people reach out, I thought it was a lot of fun and just it felt like a special moment. And then my buddy Andreas Hale, he actually wrote for the Sporting News. He wrote this article on it and put it up on Twitter and had over 1,000 retweets. Just like a video of us at Wally Mania with the importance of Kofi Mania and that impact. So that was definitely memorable and something that I think about often when I think about the week of events too. But even going back, when you think about the week of WrestleMania events, I feel bad for so many of the independent workers and independent shows that really, you know, rely on that week of income and getting to interact with fans and getting to put on all these shows. And now with everything that's going on in the world, you know, that's kind of, that's all not happening this year. So
Hall of Fame not going down this year. I know my wife, along with a lot of the other superstars' wives, love going to it because it's an event, you know, you get to dress up. My wife loves just being able to pick out dresses and, you know, try to match our outfits. You know, we were talking about like our suits this year, and it was very like nonchalant with us. And I was like, oh yeah, babe, I don't know if we're going to wear this color. And so she went to get a whole dress and whatnot. We ended up switching colors and she was all like getting up in arms about it, but she likes to shop for it, you know? So, and then one of my favorite things too is like having the kids dress up like us, you know? So we're all just looking fresh, man. Yeah. And I remember one year, man, like my kids now get into it so much. Like the year with DX, when they were involved, like Kai didn't, he didn't know who they were, you know, youngest, I didn't know. But then they come out with the tank and they have the glow sticks and you can just see like the looks on my kids' faces, just so elated to be there. And they just like Hall of Fame has become, like they talk about it all year round. David Allen comes out and he measures all of us for our suits, you know, so it's an event. And there was even one year where like, you know, when you get off the bus, when you go from the hotel, they bus us over to wherever the Hall of Fame is and you have the fans, they have the red carpet and the fans are on either side waiting for us to come out of the buses and everything. And they're chanting and they're chanting. And we were sitting like towards the back. And I remember going to get off the bus and everyone's, you know, chanting for us to get off. And my oldest son somehow found a pair of sunglasses. He puts the sunglasses on. And he jumps down, the stairs are like, then it's like a 4 or 5 step drop. He goes down one stair and then jumps down onto the red carpet, throws up the deuces and a peace sign and starts strutting up the red carpet, you know, like it, like everyone's there for him, you know, but everybody's popping for him. You know, he's getting those pops, those kid pops, you know, but it's just an event for us, man. And I feel bad that, you know, obviously it's difficult for us not to have WrestleMania, but like you were saying, there's so many other factors and people involved that aren't going to get to do it this year, but it'll make it more, that much more sweeter next year when it all goes down and everyone's able to like really appreciate what we didn't have this year. Yes. So I'm looking forward to everything kind of getting back on track, you know, as 100%. I'm sure a lot of people are.
100%. I almost forgot that was the Hall of Fame where Woods and I were acting a fool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to sit us in the front?
Yeah, that was our mentality.
That was because that was so fun.
That was so much fun because, you know, we respect obviously everyone who goes into the Hall of Fame, and it's an event that's big because it's a big thing. But it can be long too. And you're just sitting there and some of those speeches go on for 40 minutes. So I look over at Woods and I don't know when we decided, hey, let's just have some fun. But I forgot exactly what we're doing, but we're seeing like someone's doing it on cam. I think Charlie or Renee might've been doing one. And if we see a camera, that's me, man. I'm very placid. I'm very chill. But as soon as I see a red light is on, if you're recording me, I'm gonna do something. It's, I don't know what it'll be, but I'm gonna do something.
Because minutes are money. Minutes are money.
I think at one point I had my leg up and you were holding it.
I was playing like a guitar.
And then, we got standing ovation for Tori Wilson.
So, but even before that, somebody got sent out to us telling us to calm down.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he who shall not be named sent word for us to relax when we're behind someone doing on cams. But when we stood up for Tori Wilson talked about, hey, she made a joke about getting a lot of kids through puberty. And I look over at Woods and said, should we stand up and applaud? So we stand up and applaud because, you know, that was a time in my life where I was feeling a lot of things were bubbling up inside of me. And she helped me.
It's very much so. I remember, so like when she said it, it was me. I looked at you and I said, will you stand up with me? Will you stand up with me if I stand up? Stand up? And you go, yeah. It was so we clapped. Dude, that was legit one of the most fun like wrestling experiences that I've ever had.
Oh, I remember my wife was sitting right next to me too, and you guys stand up, and I just had to just like, oh, she got through kids through puberty. Oh, wow. who would have known, babe? Gosh, I don't know what
he's looking at her like, babe, I don't know what they're even talking about. What? Like,
what does he mean by that, babe? Yeah. Obviously, I don't know.
Yeah, but in this inside in your brain, little Kofi's like, yeah, bro. My God, some good times. Also too, that's not on us. If you put us opposite hard cam, that's exactly.
on you.
If you don't want us to make a fool of things, you better put us in the rafters.
Exactly.
We gonna show out every time we get.
Precisely.
I want to go back real quick to the Wale Mania deal that we were talking about. It was the night before Mania, right?
Yeah,
so it was the night before Mania. So as excited I was to be there and excited as I was to see all the people and all the love for Kofi, I was trying to get out of there as fast as possible because there was a match that I wanted to see. And I'd been waiting to see this match since the day it got announced months before. I was trying to get out of there and I was me and Harper. We're trying to get out of there so we could go and see Hornswoggle versus Scott Steiner. And I ended up getting there like 15 minutes too late and missed the whole thing. And I was so sad because in my head, that's the greatest match of all time. And then I talked to Hornswoggle and he was like, it was okay. And then it made me feel a lot better. But that's the one thing that I remember so much about that night. No, it was two nights before, because the night before was the up, up, down, down tournament where Kofi didn't win the title. And so Kofi
that's
has to
right.
be Mania the next day. This is my favorite Mania memory. Kofi had to be wrestling for the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan the next day. The most important match of his career to date. At 2 a.m., I'm getting a text from him saying about how he's pacing in his room. His wife, his kids are sleeping there. And he's upset, awake at 2 a.m. because he didn't win the up, up, down, down title.
That's right. It's real, man. It's real. Especially the way that it went down, man. We played Injustice. I was like, oh, ball game. This is game, set, match. I'll pick Sub-Zero. I'm going to trounce this dude. I trounced Mikazi 2-0. And then you said, oh, well, the rule is that you have to pick a different character. I said, what? Okay. So I think I picked Blue Beetle or something like that. Ended up losing real close. And then it was just bad, very bad memories. But yeah, man, it was real. I'm sitting there. I'm like, hey, maybe we can, he might be busy like sewing some stuff, but we might be able to get him. But like, if we go early in the morning, we can get him and we can play again. And I can get the time. That's what I was thinking about. that's where my head was at. So yeah, I didn't get, yeah, man, you know.
It was good times. It was good.
It was real.
Oh my God. So question for you guys, and this is how we're wrapping things up. So for next year's Mania, so if everything goes hopefully well and as planned, we'll be out of the house, you know, traveling again. Everything will be all good. What is the ideal situation you guys have for us at next Mania? What would you like to see us doing?
Hard. It's hard to say. I feel like Mania is always so far away that you can't even like, you know what I mean? Like, so for example, the year that we hosted, like that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, last year, you know, wrestling Daniel Bryan came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. This year, everything that's going on came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I don't know. It's a real big cop-out answer. You know okay. what I'm saying? But I don't know.
I feel like it's hard to say because I feel like it almost feels like we've worked everyone. Yeah. And then you look at NXT, like we've talked about doing stuff with Undisputed Era, but I feel like we mentioned that enough times that that's an option. It doesn't feel fresh. But I go back to the Usos, and I know we've done that so many times, but if we had the right build and the right story and we built it right and we got to do it at WrestleMania with time, with something big on the line, that would be dope. And we talked about stuff in the past too. I don't know if this works as well, but we talked about doing a six-man with them and Rikishi. I don't know if instead of Rikishi, maybe it's the Bloodline, those guys, and Roman for something big. I always thought it'd be cool. I don't think we've done anything like this. We definitely haven't as a trio. But to do something where one team had the tag titles and a solo title, maybe a world championship, and we could do like a winner takes all. I don't know if it's stage or something. But it would be cool to do something with us as a trio
even this is super fantasy booking, that'll never happen. But even if there was an option where we all three had world title matches, one was for the Universal title, the world title, and the NXT championship, something like that, where, hey, we can really cement ourselves as the greatest faction of all time by doing this.
Yeah.
Something in that vein, I don't know. But I would love to do something, because we haven't done anything big with the Usos at Mania. We did the three-way tag with the Bludgeon Brothers, where they ended up winning the titles. But something with just the two teams with some good build, I think would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great. The Usos got to find a third, don't they?
Yeah.
They got a lot of Usos out there.
They got so many cousins. Usos.
I watch Fast and Furious. We got like a hell of Usos.
Man, you got to come on, man.
I'm in the same vein as E with the trios titles type of thing. But so this is my, just listening to y'all talk, then my brain went somewhere. So by next Mania, we are deep into our Triple King setup. Mm. So I've come back at this point. You guys have helped me win King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. I go to do the crowning ceremony. I stop the crowning ceremony. We bring out more pages. So we have like Hornswoggle and two extras. So Hornswoggle is our main like jester boy.
And then we jester boy.
Yes. They bring us three crowns. Boom. We're all kings. And then at Mania, we have a six man and there's somebody with the heavyweight title, the IC title, the US title. We win. We take all of them. Then we stand tall with our crowns and our titles at Mania.
Damn. Crowns and titles.
In the main event. Six man for three singles titles.
Crowns and titles. I like it.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. We know that it's, like we said at the beginning, this is a strange time. It's weird. So just do your best to stay safe. You know, wash your hands, don't touch your face, all that good stuff. But just be out there taking care of you and yours. And we're going to get through this. And then after that, you can come through and say hello to your boys in person somewhere. In an arena.
Just the way it used to be.
We'll just be standing there. There'll be no wrestling ring. We're just going to be hanging out at arena.
Hello.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Hey, guys, we're from the podcast. Just want to say hi.
I'm Kofi from the podcast.
So where can they find you guys on Twitter and Instagram on socials?
Yeah, you know me. I'm at True Kofi on the Twitter and at The True Kofi on the gram.
I am Xavier Woods, PhD on Instagram and Twitter, The Used Food on Snapchat, and on the YouTubes, up, up, down, down. Follow me everywhere. I'm doing a hell of stuff from home.
I'm at WWE Biggie on Twitter and on Instagram. But I might actually make a one-time exception. You can follow me during this time because, you know, I have content. Like wearing Jabot jeans that I found in my closet from 15 years ago.
Oh, yep.
Wearing Michelin Ness that I found in my closet. So that's what I'm doing with my life now, is digging up clothes from when I was 16 that I somehow still have. And I put on a little fashion show. So I actually got some decent content.
Yes.
So here's a one-time exception. And as soon as this weird time in life is over, unfollow me.
One of the pictures you put in like gray pants and like a golf hat and then that old school shirt you always used to wear, the brown one, and somebody said, I feel like this picture just called me young blood.
that's the uncle fit.
All right, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next Monday. Stay safe.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.